Okay, praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And we're grateful that we know you as our Lord, our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, our provider. Now, Lord, as I read this testimony, I ask you to touch people's hearts that they may learn from your word what this couple has learned and how they make the word of God work for them and their family. And I praise you and thank you for sending me to Norway to touch this family. In Jesus' name, amen. Last year, we went to Norway again for the fifth time. And Jan, the man that owns the television network, it's something, you know, it's a television network, you know, like Daystar, TBN, or whatever. Of course, it's much smaller, but it's all over Scandinavia. And, of course, the first time they asked me to come over there, he told some woman there that he would like to have a healing ministry come and do some teaching over his television network. And this woman said, I know the perfect man. His name is Thurman Scrivener. He's from Texas. And he said, well, I've never heard of him. And she said, well, let me tell you, I've listened to a lot of his teachings, and I think that he will be perfect for this. And so Jan, he contacted me and wanted to know if I would come over to Norway. And I told him, yes. We prayed about it. And then I told him, yes, I felt led to come. We would come. I thought it's a long way to Norway, but we said, yes, we will come and we'll teach the word. Well, we got over there, and as those of you that have been here know that I'm not a normal Baptist teacher. Quite the contrary. And so, of course, the first couple of nights I started teaching, there was some pastors that was watching me, and they called in, and they wanted to throw me out. They said, he's the worst teacher that's ever been in Norway, and you should take him off the air immediately. Well, by the third day, the money stopped coming in, and that's when Jan got excited. Nobody's sending any money in, so he said, Thurman, you're going to have to do something to let these people know that Jesus is really in control. He said, you know, I never heard such teaching as this either, but he said, what you teach is in my Bible. And I said, well, you know, if it's in the Bible, I guess I'm on safe ground, am I not? He said, well, yes, I cannot deny anything. He said, I've never heard these kind of things. But he said, it is in the God's word. So he said, you can't stay just a week and go home. He said, you know, in the 3 days that you've been here, you've stirred up such a problem, and everybody's quit giving to the television ministry. He said, you're going to have to somehow rectify this. I said, okay. So I prayed, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And so the Lord says, you got to stay 2 weeks. And so I said, okay. So after the third night, we started praying for people on the set. And the next night, we started having praise reports come in. And after that, my goodness, I started teaching on love. And when I started teaching on love, probably at least 99% of the women in Norway do not love themselves. And so I started teaching on love. And women, when they come and got repented to God for their sins, and we prayed for them, some of those women were instantly healed right there. And then the next night they would be on the set telling about how God had done such a wonderful thing in their life, how they'd had heart troubles or whatever, and lung problems and fibromyalgia and everything else. Now all these women were getting healed. Jan was amazed. He said, praise God. So after about the end of the first week, some of the preachers that had told me they wanted me off of the set, he just got up on the set and told them, he said, you know, this man may be teaching something that's different than anything you've ever heard, but what he's teaching is in God's word. He said, some of you have been on my airways for years, and I've never seen a salvation from your ministry, never seen a healing from your ministry. He said, this man has been here a week now. He said, we're having people call in and confess sins to one another. People are getting healed. He said, women are getting healed. Men are getting healed. Children are getting healed. He said, awesome things are happening. Many people are calling in accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. He said, if what this man is teaching is incorrect doctrine, he said, praise God, send me some more of it. I need it. So anyway, today, or this last week, I got a testimony from a family that heard me the first time we were there in August of 2009. Now then, I want you to know that this last time we were there, I asked Jan, he had asked me the first time we were there, he said, this is such a controversial teaching that you do. He said, several people are calling in and wanting CDs and DVDs. He said, so if I sell these, he said, what do you want out of it? I told him, nothing. This will be my gift to your ministry. I said, I don't want to take a dime out of your ministry. I just want God to bless you because I know it costs money to keep this television network on the air. I think he's got 50 or 60, or did have, employees. He may have more than that now. I don't know, but it takes a lot of people to run the show. And so when I was back this time, I talked to him about it. He said, Thurman, we have never had anybody ever that come here and taught the Word of God that we even come close to selling the number of CDs and DVDs we did for your teaching. He said, we have sold over 20,000 sets of your entire teaching you did all the times you've been here. He said, some of those were 200 krona, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 krona for a particular series. He said, I have sold over 20,000 sets, over 10 million krona, $1.6 million worth of your stuff to the people in Norway. Isn't that something? So now then, you'll understand why these people bought this, because this week, God waited all this time, and this last few weeks ago when we were over there, this couple that I'm going to read you this testimony, they, with their parents, came to the teaching while we were there in Drammen in Norway, and after we left, the lady was inspired to write us a testimony of how their life has been changed. And I want you to listen to this testimony. Now, she said she's not going to write a book, but she wrote a small one. It's going to be the entire service today, I can guarantee you. So I want you to listen. First of all, we want to thank Jesus for sending you to Norway to teach the Word of God as it is written. And that sickness and sin go hand in hand. It has changed our lives forever. Now, don't you like to do things that change people's lives forever? I know the King loves it. That's why he sent me over there. In January 2009, the year of your first visit to Norway, my husband and I had decided to really seek God. We had been living more in the world than in God's Word, so the life became at one point more and more emptier, even though we were blessed with a good life, materialistic point of view. Now, you got to remember, this girl does a whole lot better with English and than I do with Norwegian, but you'll notice that her grammar and everything is not exactly the way we would speak, but you got to realize she does a good job in English. I just stand amazed at people that can speak two languages, but when they can write two languages, that just blows me away. I would have a terrible time just with English. So in August, the time you were in Norway, we were spending a weekend in our cabin up in the mountains. That evening, we were flipping through the TV channels, and suddenly you were on telling the story of your granddaughter. It was the first time we listened to you, but both my husband and I were fascinated about the story. So when Vision Norge told that you were teaching morning and evening for several days, we turned on the TV and listened to your teaching every time you were on. And for us, your teaching became a revelation. Every time you had visited Norway, we have listened to you, and we have bought all the DVDs and listened to them several times, and every time you teach about something that was sin, we ask God and each other for forgiveness, and I have to say, we found a lot of sin we did not know was sin. Do you know that's the truth with all of us? Yeah. You know, some of us never realized that grumbling and complaining were sin until we heard it taught from the Word of God. And some of us, that didn't stop us. We're still grumbling and complaining. And we wonder why we're sick and afflicted. After learning what you teach, get rid of sin and stand on the promises of God. Is that what I teach? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Get rid of sin and stand on the promises of God. We have seen so many miracles and healings over these past years that we could write a book to fit all of them in it. Now, is that awesome or is that awesome? However, we will not do that in this letter, but we would like to tell some of the stories we have experienced to confirm what you teach is the truth. But before we start, we have to say that in the beginning, when we tried to walk right, we were never seen so many strange things that happened to us. At one point, I told my husband that I did not want to get out of bed in fairness what slapping I would receive this day, because it was really difficult to take control over your tongue, your actions, and your thoughts at the same time. So I figured that it would be better just to stay at home and stay in bed so I wouldn't sin. Is walking in faith easy? No, it's not. Anyhow, the story we will start to tell happened up in our cabin, which is like a second home with all kinds of nice facilities and luxury, just like a house. And before we start this story, we also have to tell you that before you came into our life with this teaching, not a single thing in our cabin had ever broken, and we spent a lot of time up there. In fact, we were up in our cabin every weekend and every vacation the whole year round for 2.5 years, and we hardly went to church at that time either. But after we had listened to your teaching, things started to go wrong every time we came up to the cabin. Now, where should we be on Sunday? In church, not up at the cabin. They were seeking God. They want things to go good. So what God trying to show them? I'm not happy with the way you're doing things. And so things started breaking in their cabin. And she said, we hardly went to church at that time either. But after we had listened to your teaching, things started to go wrong every time we came up to our cabin. And I mean, everything went wrong. So instead of looking forward to driving up to our cabin like we used to, we were afraid what to expect and what had been broke this time. So we always ask each other if we could think of any sin we had done during the week. Praise the Lord. The strange thing was that never did anything break in our home where we lived. But we guessed that the reason why it always happened in our cabin was because it became so dear to us. Do you think that could be true? That their cabin had become their God on weekends, and now their house during the week, you know, it was just a home, so they were living in it, and nothing ever broke there. Then she says, I want to talk about a little bit about God does not share his glory. Amen. Now then, we need to get a hold of this, folks. It says, we remember you told the story about the woman that was completely healed for cancer, but after some years later, her husband gave not God the glory, but the health food that he was feeding her, and she died with cancer a short time later. That was an awesome story. I told that on Vision North. That was a true story. That story happened in 1995, and there was a woman on her deathbed. She was going to die in just a few days. And a woman right here in the Justin area that had been in my Sunday school class for years, she come to me and or called me on Thursday and wanted to know if her and her husband would buy me a ticket, would I fly down and minister to this woman on Saturday? And I told him yes. And so I got up at 5 o'clock that Saturday morning, drove down to the airport, got on an airplane, flew to Houston, changed planes, and flew over to Corpus Christi, and I got there at 10:20 in the morning. And when I got there at 10:20, her husband met me at the airport, and he took me to their apartment. I didn't know these people. I'd never seen either one of them before in my life. But when I got to their apartment, this little woman, which had took 3 hours, she was a real lady, although she only weighed about 80 pounds. You could tell she had been a beautiful lady, but she had breast cancer in the worst way and was going to die within a few days. And I went down there and spent 5 hours teaching this woman and her husband the principles of the kingdom. And then I looked at my watch and I said, oh my goodness gracious, I have got to be on an airplane within an hour. I said, you know, I really don't want to miss that flight back home. I says, have you heard enough of God's word to be healed? And she looked at me, her and her husband both was a little Baptist couple, and she looked at me with fire in her eyes and she said, yes. She said, you come cast this devil of hell out of me, and I'm going to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Now, what does the Word of God say? As a man thinketh in his heart. Is that what it is? And so as we believe, just like Matthew 8, 13 says, as we have believed, so shall it be done unto us. So I kicked the devil out of her, prayed the prayer of faith for her. I said, now I've got to go. And I said, I'll see you later. She said, no, my husband and I are going, we're going to take you to the airport. I said, ma'am, you must be weak. She said, but I'm healed now. I'm going. So she gets up. It had taken her 3 hours to get out of bed and get a set of clothes on that morning. But she said, I did not want you to minister to me in my gown. I thought, what a lady. She's a real woman. Even in her own home with a man that she wanted to be dressed appropriately. She didn't want to be in a gown. I thought, wow, what a woman. And so she got up out of that bed. She got with her husband. We went down the stairs. We went out, got in a car, and drove down to the airport. And when we pulled up out there, I said, well, sir, I said, you can just let me out here. I said, I'll catch this plane. And she said, no, we're going to park right here. We're going to walk with you to the gate. I said, ma'am, you must be weak. She said, I was weak, but I'm not anymore. Jesus has healed me. Now, see, this woman's confession is right. So they walked me to the gate. And I catch that airplane and I leave. And I just barely do catch it. And the next morning, this lady called me and she said, Thurman, I just thought I'd call you that and tell you that last night after we left you, I had not had a bite of food to eat in over 3 weeks. My intestines were all blocked up. My colon was blocked and everything. I have not had a bite of food to eat in 3 weeks. And the doctor said I'd never eat another bite. But she says, on the way back from the airport, I told my husband, honey, there's the best fried shrimp place in town. Pull over there. I'm going to have a fried shrimp dinner. Jesus has healed me. And she said, I had a fried shrimp dinner and said, I woke up this morning and everything in my body, my bowels and everything worked perfect this morning in the name of Jesus. Then I told the rest of the story. I said, so about 5 or 6 years later, this man, somebody asked the man, wasn't it wonderful what the Lord did for your wife? Because she was completely healed. 6 months later, that couple that still go to the Baptist church in Justin brought a picture by my Sunday school class and said, Thurman, look at this. And I said, wow, who's that good-looking woman? And they said, you know her. I said, oh, yeah, that is. That's her name was Judy. I said, that's Judy, isn't it? And they said, yes, it is. I said, she's beautiful. And they said, she's totally healed. Of course, I'd kept up with her. I knew she was totally healed. And so 5 or 6 years later, somebody was mentioning to her husband one day, wasn't it wonderful what Jesus did for your wife when he healed her of breast cancer? Oh, he said, it wasn't the Lord that did that. It was the health food I was feeding her that did it. And in 30 days, his lovely wife was dead from breast cancer. You know, God don't share his glory. I told that story. I said, if you want to see God do good things, you got to praise him and you got to tell people what God's done. I said, it's all over the Word of God. I said, you know, but lots of people will not give God the glory. So anyway, she says, let me give you this. We remember you told the story about the woman. Now then, she said, this story happened to us one weekend during one winter. We were at our cabin. We had just arrived and went into the cabin to check if everything was okay, and it seems to be. She said, close to our cabin, we have a guest cabin. And since my mom and dad was going to visit us during this weekend, we heated it up and was going to turn on the main crane. I guess, that's probably a main valve, a main crane to turn on the water. So they could use the bathroom in the guest cabin. But my husband then saw that the pipeline for the water into the guest cabin had been broken. It had a hole in it. So if we turned on the main crane, the water would come right out of the hole and into the floor where the pipeline was. Since it was a weekend and no company to call to fix it, we figured that we could just ask God for anything. You talk about a couple that's lost their mind. This couple believes Jesus. This is awesome. I just stand in awe. So my husband and my dad, they had also arrived to the cabin. They went out to the pipeline and stood on one of God's promises and asked that when they turned on the water, it would run through the pipeline as normal and not out of the hole. Now, what kind of faith does it take to do that? I mean, most people can't even think like this. But this couple thinks that God can do anything, and they're right. And it says here, as water would run through the pipeline as normal and nothing out of the hole, and then they thanked him. But what did God say? Do everything with prayer and thanksgiving. So see, they've got the whole concept down. For it was done. My husband said, it's done. My husband had also asked God for forgiveness for any possible sin that he might have caused this hole. Then they turned on the valve with full pressure, and the water was running smoothly, and nothing came out of the hole. It was really something to see. The water running without getting out of the hole. Wow, she says. Normally, the floor would be overflooded in a few minutes. Now, is that true? I'm telling you, we just don't believe this book. Wow. The whole day, everything was fine with the water. But then later in the afternoon, after Mom and Dad had left, the phone rang, and it was my husband's mom. She was sick in bed with cancer and was dying. During the conversation, she suddenly asked my husband if everything was okay with the water. We have no clue why she would ask about that, because she did not know anything about the broken pipe in the first place. So my husband was really surprised and did not know what to say. So instead of telling about the great miracle that God had done with the water, he just mumbled something and changed subjects and did not give any glory to God. And his reason for not giving God the glory by telling her about this miracle was because his mom had been prayed for several times to get healed without any results, only getting worse. She died 1 month later. And he did not want to tell that God fixed miraculously our water pipes when she had not been healed. Isn't this sad? You know, his mother didn't get healed because she didn't believe. You know, she couldn't have, or she had a sin in her life. So he says, I had been listening to their whole conversation, and as soon as my husband hung up the phone, I told him that since he did not give God the glory for the water, I was sure that the room where the pipeline was wounded would be overflowed with water by now. So we both ran out to see, and yes, the whole floor had during this few minutes been overflooded by water. Now, isn't that amazing? When you don't give God the glory for doing something, he just says, okay, so he takes away his power. Needless to say, we had a great job to do ahead of us, and to do a long story short, my husband repented and asked God to send a person the next morning to change the whole pipeline, and God was merciful and sent a plumber the very next morning, which is another miracle because there's not a whole lot of plumbers getting hold of so quickly for such not, especially up in the mountains, she says. Another story about God does not share his glory. Now, this is something that the church in America needs to understand. When God says, I do not share my glory, I want you to trust in Christ alone. I'm going to show you. I've had these experiences many times. But this couple, it's awesome. It says, after learning the principles that you are teaching, we started to teach our kids, praise God, which were at this time 13, 14, and 15. We had also got rid of all pills that we used if someone got a stomachache, a headache, or so on. Now, all I got to say, I can remember for years, I used to have a medicine cabinet in my house, and we had pills for everything. Not any of y'all, no, I ain't even going to ask you that. I don't want you to hold up your hand. So some of you are probably just like I was then. You still have those, and you take different medications for different things, but you don't need none of that. But it says, we had also got rid of all the pills that we used if someone got a stomachache, a headache. If one of our kids had a problem, we just asked them what they had done wrong, asked them to repent, and use one of God's promises and thanked him. And every time we did this, they got well. Now, how many times? Isn't that amazing? They prayed for their children after what, and you notice they asked the children, what did you do wrong? Amen. What did you do? Repent of your sin. Did you get upset with somebody? Did you talk about somebody? Did you lie to somebody? Did you do something wrong? Because if you repent, and then we will pray, and then we'll thank God. And she said, how many times did it work for them? Isn't that amazing? Every time. Wow. So our kids started to see that God's word really does work. You know, if we raised our children up like this today, we wouldn't lose none of them when they go to college. You couldn't, I mean, once, you could never tell Dave Rosenfeld that God don't heal. You know that? Since he got healed of his terrible disease, you could never tell him. He would never believe you. You don't care what kind of results you try to show. You could never tell Jack Butler that God don't heal no more, can you, Jack? They got to you and me too late. Yeah, I know your granddaughter. She's still doing good today. That's 2 weeks down the road. She's just lovely healed, and we're so grateful. And you're grateful too, right, honey? Oh, I'm telling you, it's so wonderful to get healed and to give God the glory. So you're learning. You got to give him the glory, right? Because you don't want it to come back. So let's go on here. After learning these principles, but one morning, my oldest daughter, Catherine, came into my bedroom and told me that she had a painful stomachache because of her period. Since my husband had already left for work, I asked her if I should pray for her. She said yes. So I laid my hands on her stomach. Now, can the mother pray for the children? Absolutely. So I laid my hands on her stomach, stood on one of God's promises, and asked him to take away all Catherine's pain. And then we thanked him for it, and she went into her bedroom, and after 10 or 15 minutes, I went into her bedroom to check on her, how she was doing. She told me that all the pain was gone, but then she said the following. It must have been the warm hot water bottle that I put on my stomach. I did not know that she had taken a warm bottle of water and put it on her stomach. I told her that it was not the bottle, but God. Then I left the room, and Catherine was on her way to go and take a shower. I went upstairs and started to work, but suddenly I heard screaming and some terrible noise downstairs. I ran downstairs, and it was Catherine that had got such an acute pain in her stomach while she was showering that she had fell in the shower. She had managed to crawl back into her bed and cried with a great stomachache, begging me to give her some pills she had had in her room that I did not know of. She asked me to please give some to her, and for a minute I really was put to the test. Her daughter's suffering. Wow. In the bed, my daughter was crying in terrible pain, and on the table was a glass of pills was standing there. Well, I walked over to my daughter and told her quickly that the reason for this was because she did not give God the glory, but told me that it was the bottle of warm water that had taken away the stomachache. I told her that if she told God she was sorry, then I could pray again and God would take away this terrible pain. Does this mother have faith?
Yes.
This mother has faith. She said yes, repented, and we stood on one of God's promises and asked him to take away all the pain, and immediately all the pain was gone from my daughter's body. Then I told her that she did not need to have these pains every time she got her period. She used to have pain every time she got her period. If she would just throw away the glass of pills in the garbage and believe that she would never have the pain again, it would happen. I asked if she would trust God and throw the glass of pills away. She did. And after this, she has never had any pain since, and this happened 3 years ago. See, God honors his word, doesn't he? Now then, an act of faith. Let's see what she's got to say now. I mean, these two where that God doesn't share his glory, aren't those awesome experiences about... See, here's the thing. Here's what we do. And we're bad. And this is why we get so few healings in the church today. People come up and they come to a healing school and they listen to God's word. Over and over I preach these principles, just like I did in Norway. And people come up and say, I have faith. I believe when you pray for me, I'm going to be healed. And I pray, and I said, after I pray, I said, now what's wrong with you? Well, I have a stomachache and I have a backache. And I said, what? I said, I thought you believed that when I prayed, it was done. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do believe it's done. I said, well, what's wrong with you? Well, I have a stomachache and a backache. And I said, now, wait a minute. You don't believe. Well, I know, Thurman, but I know you prayed in faith. But next Thursday, I got an appointment with a doctor. And if he tells me it's gone, then I know I'm healed. Well, let me tell you, that ain't giving God the glory. That is not giving God the glory. That's giving the doctor the glory. And praise God for good doctors. You know, there's not anything wrong with a doctor. But those doctors should be for the world, not for the church. I mean, the world don't have no faith. Christians are supposed to have faith and trust in our God. And what did Dave say a while ago? Trust in Jesus alone. Nothing. Is that what he said?
Amen.
See, when Martin Luther got that revelation, changed his life forever. It'll change your life forever too. An act of faith. This is an awesome one. When our youngest daughter, Charlotte, was born, she was born with a syndrome which is called Silver and Russell syndrome. Now, I have no idea of what this, had you ever heard of this? Silver and Russell syndrome. In general, children born with this syndrome don't reach a very high length. Okay, I mean, she's talking about height. They don't grow very tall. And their teeth are often very misplaced in their mouth, and a lot of other disaffects can appear. It depends how heavy the syndrome has attacked Charlotte, and Charlotte was not very heavily attacked. But she was not very tall. Her teeth were very misplaced in her mouth, and she could hardly hear anything on her left ear. But everything else in her body wasn't okay. So that's the only way she was affected. Well, I mean, if you're not going to grow, you know, and you can't hear out of your left ear, you know, and your teeth are all, spread all over the place, that, far as I'm concerned, that's enough. You know, that's enough. I wouldn't want any of them, would you? No, I wouldn't want any of those. But she was not very tall. Her teeth were very displaced in her mouth, and she could hardly hear anything on her left ear. But everything else in her body was fine. Because of this syndrome, she has been followed up by the hospital since she was born. So needless to say, she has been in and out of the hospital during her growth. When she was 7.5 years old, the doctors decided that it was time to give her growth hormones. That is a treatment where she had to inject a needle with a small amount of hormone in her thigh every day for 9 years until she turned 16 years of age. That's how old you are, right? 16, praise the Lord. And the cost of this treatment is 3 million krona, which is 530,000 American dollars. But our health system in Norway pays for it. When she was 9 years of age, they found out about her left ear. Now, so she started at 7.5, putting this thing in her, giving a shot in her leg and her thigh every day for the next, till she's 16. They found out about her left ear, so she got hearing aids for her left ear. When she turned 12 years, the dentist decided it was time to put on braces on her teeth. She also had to remove 4 teeth, and she had to wear this for about the next 3 years. One day, so when you came to Norway the first time, our daughter was almost 14 years of age. One day, after we had been listening to your teaching for a couple of months, we got rid of all of our sin. We asked our Charlotte if she should pray for her ear so she did not have to wear the hearing aids any longer. She told us yes and would like that very much. It is no such fun for a teenager to wear braces on her teeth, use hearing aids on her ear, and take needles in her thigh every day. Can you imagine that? What we go through all because we don't trust in Jesus. Oh, what needless pain we bear. You ever heard that song? All because we do not. I sung that in a Baptist church for years. I had no idea what it meant. No idea. I just like, wow, how dumb I was. Woo! But before we prayed, we told her that she had to throw away her hearing aids. Boy, you talk about trusting. This mother and dad, they believe this stuff. throw them away into the garbage container outside. She said, yes, Mom, I'll be happy to. 2 weeks before we asked our daughter, we had been in the hospital to get her a new hearing aid because she had lost the old one. And the hospital was going to send her the new one after they had got it back from where they make them. She had to take a cast of her ear that they had to use. So this day, the very new hearing aid appeared in our mail. But since we had listened to you and heard the story about these two persons that had diabetes, you prayed for both of them, the man threw away his things and got healed. But the woman did not and did not get healed. I told that story about a man and a woman in Oregon. I was in Oregon at a great big Assembly of God church, and I had at least 100 people across the front to pray for. And the man on this side, when I walked up to him, I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I have diabetes. When I said that, he said, I had diabetes. He said, after hearing you teach what you've taught, he said, I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm believing God. I'm going to throw away all my stuff. And he said, I guarantee I ain't going to have diabetes no more. I said, could I have your name and phone number? And he gave it to me. I got it to the far end on the other side. There was a little lady over. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, I have diabetes. I said, so are you going to have it when I pray for you? She said, I hope not. She said, I'm going to go home and put my stuff up on the shelf and see how I do. I called both of them a month later. He got healed and she didn't get healed. I said, one of them trusts God, the other didn't trust God. And so that's why he got healed. So they heard this story. Isn't it amazing how some people are so gullible just to believe anything you tell them? Isn't this amazing? So this day, the new hearing aids appeared, but since we had listened to you and heard the story about the two persons that had diabetes, you prayed for both of them. The man threw away his things and got healed, but the woman did not and did not get her healing. So after we had prayed for our daughter and thanked God for her healing, she threw the new hearing aid we had received that very day in the garbage outside, and the next morning the garbage truck picked up the garbage, so it was no way to come back. Every day for the next 6 days, my husband, my daughter, and I would praise and thank God for our daughter's healing. Now, how long is this going to go on? It sounds like they're going to just keep on doing it, because they'd heard me say, you need to praise and worship the King. And so they're praising God that her daughter's hearing is back. She's healed. They're praising. And she said, every day for the next 6 days, my husband, my daughter, and I would praise and thank God for our daughter's hearing. And suddenly, on the sixth day, while we were praising God, our daughter jumped up and grabbed her ear with her hands because we were talking too loud. Jesus had just turned up her ear. Today, listen to this. Today, she can hear best of all of us, and the rest of us have good hearing, but she can hear even better than the rest of us. Isn't God awesome? I mean, he is awesome. So after this healing, we asked Charlotte if we should pray for her growth so she did not have to take the needle injections any longer. I mean, what did God tell us to pray for? Pray about? What do we not understand? About pray about everything with thanksgiving. Isn't that amazing? We just don't trust him, do we? Wow. Oh, so she said yes, and we told her that she had to throw away the needle with the growth hormone after praying. Standing on one of God's promises, we thanked him for our daughter's growth and threw the needle with the growth hormones in the garbage. Before Charlotte started on this treatment, the doctor told us that she would never reach above 155 centimeters, and he hoped she would reach at least 148 centimeters. But every half year, we had to bring our daughter in for a check to see how she was doing. But the strange thing that was, from this day we threw away the needle, we did not hear anything from the hospital for the next year and a half. So we had almost forgotten about those growth hormones. But suddenly one day we got a letter in the mail from the hospital that wanted a check of our daughter's growth. We had not told the hospital that we had thrown away the needle with the growth hormones 1.5 years ago. That's kind of like me and Caitlin's throat, right? That doctor thought I was crazy too. But all I got to say is she could swallow today. She couldn't before. So the day came when my husband and Charlotte had to go to the hospital for the checkup appointment. When they arrived at the hospital, of course, it was a new doctor. And she and my husband had gone in the same class in high school, and she was not a Christian. So the husband knew the girl, the doctor. The first thing she asked after saying hello was, "I hope you have been taking the growth hormones every day." Well, Charlotte looked at my husband, and my husband had to tell the doctor that we believe in God, and that our daughter had been healed from hearing, and that we believe that he had control over the length of our daughter's body, and therefore we threw away the needle 1.5 years ago. To do a long story short, the doctor then measured our daughter, and it turned out that during the 1.5 years she had not taken the hormone injection, she had the best growth period she had ever had. She's now 156.5 centimeters tall. Isn't that amazing? Remember that the doctors had told us that she would never reach 155 centimeters. Would be lucky if she reached 148 centimeters, and yet without the growth hormone, she's already reached 156.5. So the doctor wrote a last letter where it said that our daughter was a healthy young girl and fully grown, and that the treatment was now ended. We told our daughter not to believe the doctor, but believe God's word. He has control of your growth. This letter was written on May the 4th, 2011, but in August of 2012, our daughter had to renew her passport, and when she was measured, it turned out that she now reached 159 centimeters tall. "Thank you, Jesus," she said. Oh, what is impossible with God? When we trust Him, His promises work, don't they, Jack? After Charlotte had got her healing for her ear, and we had thrown away the needle with the growth hormones, she asked us if we could pray and ask God to fix her teeth. I mean, my goodness gracious, isn't it amazing how slow we are here? But you know, that's what happens when you start getting healed. You think, "Hey, Dad, maybe we could pray about this, huh?" Amen. I mean, after all, what did God say pray about? What?
Everything.
What do we not understand about that? Oh, boy. Oh, goodness. So, to fix her teeth so she did not have to wear the braces on them any longer, she was supposed to wear it another 1.5 years. We told her, yes, we stood on one of God's promises. You notice that every time when they repent and they stand on God's promises. Isn't that something? That's what I teach. Is that not true? And that He would straighten her teeth up in her mouth without wearing the braces, and no space between the teeth. And then we thanked Him for it was done. You notice that? For it was done. Isn't that something? That's what really moves the hand of God. You got to believe it's done. The next day, we got a letter in the mail from the dentist that our daughter had to come to a checkup appointment to tighten up the braces in her mouth. The appointment was a week later. So the day came, and my husband and my daughter went to the dentist. When they came inside, my husband asked the dentist if he believed in God. The dentist answered back, "What has God got to do with this?" So my husband told him that we wanted him to take the braces off our daughter's teeth because we believed that God had straightened up her teeth perfect. The dentist was not very happy. And he told my husband that he could not do that, and especially not on this appointment, because if he should remove her braces, it would take a lot more time than a checkup appointment, and a lot of patients would be waiting in the waiting room outside. But for some reason, and against his will, he walked over to his secretary and asked for a document my husband had to sign, which said he, my husband, was fully responsible for this situation. My husband signed it, and the dentist sat down in the chair and started on my daughter's teeth. The strange thing happened. As soon as he started to touch the braces, it literally fell off in his head. I remember not long ago when Cheryl had a bridge come loose, and she went to the dentist, and the doctor tried and tried and tried to pull that off her. Could not get that thing off. She stopped him and called me twice and asked me to pray for her, and it did not come off. She finally left that doctor's office. That brace was still hanging in there. She could not get it off. And Eldon and I was down south, and we were coming back home riding along there, and I'm sitting there and meditating, Lord, why did that thing not come off? I don't understand this, Lord. I prayed twice for Cheryl, but even the dentist could not pull the what do you call that thing? A bridge off of her tooth. It was so fastened on there. It was loose on one end. He couldn't get it off the other end. So Eldon, we're driving along, and I'm meditating on it. Lord, why did it not work? And all of a sudden, Eldon, he says, Thurman, God always answers your prayer for Cheryl. Why did he not answer it this time? I said, Eldon, that's what I was just sitting here meditating on. And I said, you know, I know I said thank you, Lord, for taking it off. But I said, I think that's probably all I did was say thank you. I said, you know, I don't think I praised him enough. So I just threw my hands up the picture. I said, Lord, I want to praise you for taking that bridge off of Cheryl's teeth. My Father, in Jesus' name, I just give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving for taking that bridge off her teeth. Eldon kind of turned loose the steering wheel, put his foot up again. He said, yes, Lord, me and Thurman want to praise you for taking the bridge off of Cheryl's teeth. We drove down the road for 10 miles like that, praising him. And my cell phone rang. Cheryl said, honey, this bridge just fell off in my mouth. Nobody was even pulled on it. It just fell off. Is that awesome? When we don't get our answer, what should we do? Praise him. That's right. If we don't get our answer right now, praise him. And it can't fail. If you're trusting him, it can't fail. But he says, the strange thing happened. As soon as he started to touch the braces, it literally fell off by itself. And in no time at all, he had shined her teeth, and everything was done. And when my husband and Charlotte came out into the waiting room, nobody was even there yet. This is now 3 years ago, and our daughter has perfectly beautiful, nice teeth with no spaces between them. I mean, this family's getting it. This is a testimony. Y'all understand why I had to read this to y'all today, right? This is awesome. And in Matthew 18:19, this promise in Matthew 18:19 we have used many, many times. Oh, boy, it's one of my favorite ones, too. But we want to share just one little story. 3 years ago, our son Christopher, he was then 13 years of age, came to my husband and asked if they could pray to God about his tooth. One of his teeth was loose and ready to be removed. Christopher had been trying to get it out for several hours without any luck. So now he asked his dad to pray to God. Now, that's the way every child should be. You know, I thought about what Dave said a while ago, used to, when he'd say, let me pray for you. And at first, you know, I remember one time when little John got hit in the head with a baseball bat, and I walked in the back door just as after it happened. He was in there and a big old knot swelled up on his head. And Dave said, John, I'll pray for you. And he looked up and saw me coming. He said, no, Dad, I won't pop a tee. We need the big guns on this one. And so I laid my hands on that little knot and prayed, and the pain went right away. In a little while, I come out and said, John, how's you? He said, it'll hurt at all. And I felt it was almost completely gone. And within just a little while, it was gone. But now then, they have learned their daddy has that same power. So the kids don't come to me no more. They go to Dave. They go to Dad and get their prayers, because Dave gets his prayers answered through the same King that I do. But it's amazing, you know, when the children learn that God answers prayer, especially through their dad. You know, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Every man is supposed to be that father to his children that can touch the hand of God with their needs. And when he prays, this should happen. Now, let's listen to the rest of this. So he asked his dad to pray. So they sat down, and my husband told Christopher that they should pray and ask God, and my husband could just pull the tooth out with his fingers without any pain and any blood. Christopher does not like the taste of the blood in his mouth when removing a tooth. So Christopher agreed, and they stood on Matthew 18:19. And they asked God exactly at the above. Then they thanked him, and my husband reached his finger around the tooth, pulled it right out, and Christopher felt no pain, and there came not a drop of blood, not even on the tooth, and there was not a sign of blood. So our children have seen so many times that we can ask Jesus for everything, small things and big things, and he shows up every time. this is awesome. Now Mark 11:24. She said, I'm going to tell you what we did with Mark 11:24. Now you remember she said with Matthew 18:19, they've done how many things? Many, many, many things, right? So Mark 11:24 said, this promise we have also been using many, many times. It's a good one, I will have to say. And just a quick story we will share. Last year in May 2011, my husband and I wanted to take a weekend trip to Sweden with our three children. We had booked the ferry that goes from Norway to Sweden and already paid for the tickets. My husband had calculated that it would take us 2.5 hours to drive to the ferry, and the ferry was going to leave at 10 a.m. the next morning. We told our kids we had to sit in the car the next morning no later than 6:45. So the next morning, we were all sitting in the car, and it was 6:50. We turned on the GPS and plotted in the target where the ferry was located. Then the time came up when we would be at our target, and it said on the GPS, 10 a.m. And we went, oh, no, we had miscalculated the time. It took more than 3 hours drive, and you have to be there 20 minutes before. So we were not able to make it. So we told our kids that we needed to pray right away before we started to drive, and that we would pray to be there in good time before the ferry left. And we stood on Mark 11:24. We thanked God and started to drive. As we were driving, we looked at the GPS, and we saw just how we look in minute by minute the whole way to the ferry. And we were driving the speed limit the whole time. We did not break the speed limit, so it is not possible that anything was wrong. When we reached the ferry, the time was 9:30. We had 30 minutes to go. Now then, what can God do? Now listen to the rest of this. But on our way back after the weekend, we drove the same way. We turned on the same GPS, and it showed that we would use more than 3 hours to get home. We did not stop on our way back, and there was no traffic, and we did not take in a single minute for nothing. We used exactly the time the GPS said, more than 3 hours, and that's exactly what it took us to get home, 3 hours. So God is awesome. So coming back, there was no need. They didn't pray. The GPS said it's going to take them 3 hours. It took them 3 hours, but going, they prayed, and God cut it off by a half hour. Isn't that something? Yeah. Bad behavior and slander. Oh, now this is a good one. This has something to say about the children. It's that the two next stories we will tell happened 1 year ago with our two daughters and within one day of each other. When our kids go to school, they usually ride bikes to the bus stop, and from there they take the bus to school. This particular morning, my oldest daughter, Catherine, took my bike without asking me, and she left her bike at home. So when our youngest daughter, Charlotte, was going to school one bus later, she did not have a bike. Since Catherine had taken my bike, Charlotte's bike was broken, and she had borrowed mine. So without asking Catherine, since she already had left for school, Charlotte took Catherine's bike. After school, Catherine came first to the bus stop. Charlotte was on another bus 1 hour later. So when Catherine saw that her bike also was at the bus stop, she became really mad at Charlotte, since Charlotte had used her bike without even asking. I can't imagine kids getting upset at each other for this, can you? Do they? Oh, yes they do, don't they? So instead of taking her bike home and leaving my bike for Charlotte, Catherine took both bikes with her and started on her way home. She sat on the one bike and held the other bike with one hand, and on her shoulder she had her big purse with her new Canon camera she had recently bought. That camera cost 18,000 kronas, $3,200. The reason why she had such an expensive camera is that her major is media, and they use these kinds of cameras. Anyway, when she was sitting on her bike going downhill from the bus stop, suddenly the one box she held with one hand turned the wheel right into the bike she was sitting on, and in a second, both bikes crashed into each other, and Catherine flew over the steering wheel and landed flat in the road ahead. a lady that had gotten off the bus at the same bus stop saw the whole scene. She came forth to my daughter. She looked at her and took her phone and called the ambulance. Then she spoke to Catherine to find out how she was doing and told her to lie still until the ambulance arrived. Then this lady tried to call me without any luck. I was at work. She tried to call my husband without any luck. He was also at work, but left him a message. After 10 or 15 minutes, my husband heard the message and threw himself into the car to drive to my daughter. On his way, he called me and then started to pray to God that Catherine would be okay without any broken bones in her body. In the meantime, the ambulance and the police had arrived, and when my husband arrived, Catherine was just lifted up into the ambulance. Cheryl said we have a picture of that. I don't know if we put. I don't know if you can put that. There it is. They were putting the girl in the ambulance. Yeah, that was in the email. Since we had been teaching our kids the principles that you teach, Catherine knew exactly why this happened to her, and she had managed to repent to God while she flew over the bike. You're all upset with your sister, and you're fussing at her and everything else, and you know God says no slandering, don't speak evil of no one. Your tongue is your worst enemy, and she's over there doing all that. Now she's airborne, flying through there. Oh, God, I repent. He's done me like that a couple of times, too. As I'm falling or whatever, fixing to get hurt, I said, oh, God, I repent for that sin. She's repenting and asked God that her camera would not be broken. She was thinking more of her camera than she was of herself. I mean, if you paid $3,200, Dad paid $3,200 for that. Wow. To make a long story short, she did not break any bones in her body. As my husband prayed for her, and she did not break her camera, and she herself prayed for intact and not a mark on it. Now, so she could come home very quickly, and the doctor gave her some pills that she should take for the pain in her body. But we told her not to take the pills. We would just pray to God, since she had repented, and he would take all the pain away. So after returning home, she went to bed. My youngest daughter, Charlotte, was going to spend the night in Catherine's bedroom in case she needed anything. So while they were chatting with each other, Charlotte started to tell Catherine about one of her girlfriends that she did not like, and she slandered the girlfriend. Catherine then told Charlotte that she should stop slandering and that she did not want to listen to it because she did not want anything more to happen to her. Isn't it amazing when you learn the principles of the kingdom? The average church member don't believe God will do these kind of things to children. I mean, but boy, does he ever. And Catherine talked to Charlotte that she continued maybe she would fall off the bike. In other words, she told us that if you keep on, you may fall off the bike too, just like I did. So the girl's giving her sister good advice. The next morning, Charlotte left for school. Also, my husband had left for work and our son. So it was only Catherine and I at home. When I woke up, Catherine was in such terrible pain and she could not find any resting position and she had hardly slept the whole night. She cried and cried because of pain. And then she told me that her dad, my husband, had gone to the store early in the morning while I was sleeping and bought some pills to ease her pain because he could not stand to see his daughter in such pain. But the pills did not help very much. So now she lay on the floor in my bedroom crying out in pain. I told her that it was not so smart to take the pills and to not trust God. But if we repented and stood on his promises and asked him to remove the pain and let her find a good resting position so she could sleep, he would do that. So I asked Catherine if we should pray for her, and she said, yes, let's do it, Mom. We did, and we thanked him, and I said, it is done. Immediately after we had said amen, her pain was gone, and she found a good resting position and fell asleep and slept for several hours. Day by day, she recovered, and after 1 week, she was back in school again. And I have to say that she did learn a great lesson. Well, anyhow, back to Charlotte. The morning after she had been slandering about her girlfriend. You can't imagine people talk about people like this, huh? You reckon we do this? Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, did her sister tell her not to talk about that girl? She might fall off her bike. On her way back from school, she was sitting on the bus together with one of her friends, and she was slandering again about this girlfriend without thinking or remembering what Catherine had told her the day before. I mean, can we tell people these things and they don't listen? And we don't listen well, do we? Wow. So when the bus stopped and Charlotte went off the bus, she sat on the bike to go home. On her shoulder, she had her very heavy purse. While she is going downhill, suddenly her purse fell off of her shoulder and hit the steering wheel of the bike, and the bike fell, and Charlotte fell over the bike and landed flat onto the road. It was exactly the same place where Christine had fallen the day before. And the same lady that had called the ambulance the day before had gotten off the bus at the and saw the whole thing. She ran over to Charlotte and asked how it went. And while Charlotte was lying there, the lady told her that this is really strange because yesterday, at this very same time, another girl had crashed her bike and fell. And today, the same thing happened again. My daughter looked up in her face and told her, "Yes, I know, that was my sister." Well, I guess Charlotte also learned a great lesson that day. And God was merciful to her. She did not break anything, but she sure got some bruises on her body and both arms and legs and destroyed her clothes. Charlotte, after falling off her bike, wow, look at her arms and elbows and everything. Wow. She really did pay the price, didn't she? This story we want to tell you happened during the first few months after we started to listen to you and your teaching. We really tried hard to take control of our tongue and our actions, but it was really difficult to also take control of our thoughts. Did the Lord tell us to cast down every thought? I felt we had our hands full by trying to control the tongue and actions. So this story we want to share with you happened up in the mountains at our cabin. It was a beautiful winter day, and we wanted to go downhill skiing. And before I tell this story, I have to tell you that I have been skiing since I was a young girl. I love speed, jumping, and backcountry skiing, and I am skilled in this sport. Now, if there's anything I found out when I was in Norway, if you're a human being in Norway, if you was born there, you know how to ski. I mean, those people, they ski from the time they're this big. I mean, I think they got skis on them kids before they stand up, you know. I mean, they learn how to ski. That's just Norway. So she said, after skiing for a couple of hours, we had noticed this woman that also was skiing. And without even thinking about it, we started to comment on her style in a bad way. Yeah, you'd think one day we would learn. Do you not think we would learn someday about talking evil about people? And wow. Telling each other that she was skiing like she owned the hill. And it seemed that she really thought she had the best style ever, which we did not think. She had a really strange way of skiing, we thought. So at one of our trips up the hill, we went off the lift when we reached the top. And at the top, this woman was standing ready to take off down the hill. So suddenly, this thought came into my head. Now I shall show her how you really shall do it. With my great and smooth style. Woo, do you hear any pride in this moment? Oh, you can tell she's set for a fall already. Oh, my goodness, Lord. Oh, my, that just hurts me to think about. And how many times have we done those same dumb things? Wow. I shall show her how it really needs to be done with my graded smooth style. So after I had thought this, I hurried off the hill and ran out in front of her, showing and thinking that she was right behind me to see how she really should do it. As I was focused on this and had skied halfway down the mountain, I came to the steepest point of the hill. It was really icy, but I loved that because now I really could show off my skills. But suddenly, and in a second of time, my right arm with the ski pole went straight between my legs. And I felt that someone grabbed me from my behind and threw me straight up in the air and then dropped me vertically down the icy hill with my head first. That don't sound like no fun, does it? Immediately I knew why this had happened to me. Immediately I knew what had happened to me. So I repented quickly and asked God that I would not crush my face or my neck or anything else in my body, and that I would have no pain at all and no damage to my face. Then I remembered that I hit the icy ground and my head was about to explode in the crash. But suddenly I felt no pain. And I just lay on the ground without moving. My husband, that was skiing a little distance behind me, saw the whole scene, and he ran quickly forth to me and asked me what in the world was going on and what had I done. Isn't that amazing when we see, when we learn these principles, we know what we've done. Isn't that something? What have you done? I told him the whole story while I was lying on the icy ground. And then I just started to cry. I was about to give up. This road was really difficult to walk. I really had tried my best to do everything right, and this was the drop. I just wanted to go home and lay down in my bed and not get out of it. Anyway, I got on my feet. I had not a single pain in my body. Nothing was broken in my body. My helmet that had hit my face was damaged, but it did not leave any mark or pain in my face. I was totally fine. Now, what was she doing that she's flying through the air? Repenting. Yeah, I mean, that's a secret you got to get. This woman knew what she had done wrong. She knew it was her pride. She was repenting. My helmet, I was totally fine, like nothing had ever happened. I had only destroyed my pants between the legs, but I could fix that very easy. I skied down the rest of the hill, and we went back to our cabin. My husband saw how discouraged I was, and he showed me the verse from Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Is that a good verse? My husband, boy, that would, a husband would have to show his wife that, right? Proverbs 3:11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Boy, he corrected her, didn't he? Wow. Today, I am really thankful to God that he teaches us what he likes and does not like. I did learn a great lesson about pride. God hates pride and arrogance. Proverbs 16:5 is just one of the several verses that tells us that everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. So hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Wow. So if a pride or arrogant thought is coming into my head, I for sure throw it away in Jesus' name. You know, if it says in there that we will not go unpunished if we do these things, that means it makes no matter who you are. You know, you're, if you do this stupid pride stuff, you're going to be punished. And I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. Do you? I don't like discipline. I hate it. So it says, to end this story, we have to tell you that the woman that I thought was behind me and I was showing off for, guess what? She had changed over to another downhill track at the top and was not even behind me. She was at a totally other track and could not see me at all. So she suffered all of that for no reason. Now then, the last one. This is so great. I cried on this one myself. Unforgiveness. The last story we will share with you is about unforgiveness. My father had over 20 years of unforgiveness toward one of my uncles in the USA because of money my uncle owed my father for work he had done for him and other things my uncle had done to my father. So my father grew a very strong unforgiveness and hate toward my uncle. Before this unforgiveness, my father and uncle were so very good friends. And every time my uncle and aunt and kids came to Norway, they always visited us, and we had a great time together. But after all this happened, my sisters and brothers, mom and myself were not allowed to speak any of their names, my uncle, aunt, or their kids in our family. We were not allowed to visit other relatives. If any member of my uncle's family were also invited, my mom was not allowed to have any contact with her sister either, since she was married to my uncle. Isn't it terrible what unforgiveness does to us? It became a very well-known problem in the entire family on my mother's side, since my mom has four sisters and two brothers, and all of them have kids. We were a big family and often had family gatherings, so it would always be the big topic of why we never could come. If any of my uncle's family members also were coming, and even weddings to other of my cousins was a great topic, if we did not say yes to the invitation, so we could not say yes. So decide, because of this unforgiveness, it afflicted the whole family on my mother's side for over 20 years. Before I go on, I have to tell you that my father was a Christian, and he believed that he was saved, even though he hated my uncle and would not forgive him for what he had done. No matter if any of us tried to even mention that forgiveness would be the solution, he would not listen. He would only get mad at us, so nobody dared say anything to him. But as the years went by and his hate was just as strong, I several times told my mom that he had to do something. He really had to forgive. Anyhow, after my husband and I started to listen to your teachings, and especially when you teach about the ungrateful servant in Matthew 18, it became really so clear that I thought even my dad would understand that he really had to forgive. So we told my mother about your teachings and said to her that my father should really listen to them. This was 2 years ago in 2010. So one day my mom was visiting us. We told her that we had to give my father your teachings so he could listen to them. My dad was at this time 71 years old, and only God knows when our time is over here on earth. And I could not bear the thought that if he died without forgiving my uncle, he would go straight to hell. I thought it was so awful. I wanted to see my dad in heaven. Since my father had not been listening to any of us in the last 20 years, we decided before Mom would give him your DVDs that the three of us, Mom, my husband, and I, would go to the throne of grace, as it says in Hebrews 4:16, and lay my father on the throne of God. That sound like my teaching? That's exactly what I teach, isn't it? So we did. After we had done this, Mom took five of your DVDs with her and left. For 3 weeks, we did not hear one single word from Mom or Dad. But then one day, my mom called me and asked if I was home because they wanted to stop by. I told them, yes, of course. They came into my home, and I really have to say that I was very curious when my father sat down and pulled out the five DVDs from his coat and laid them at the table. I really held my breath. Then my father said, these DVDs were very good. Where did you get them? And is there more of them? And can I order them? I have to say that I was so thankful to God and so excited that he liked them and wanted more of your teachings. I called Vision Nords right then and ordered all of your DVDs for him. This happened in October and November of 2010. Then right after Christmas, my husband, our kids, and I were going up to our cabin to celebrate Christmas. On our way up, we stopped by Mom and Dad's house. After getting inside, my mom told me to come with her into the kitchen, and I did. With tears in her eyes, she showed me a Christmas card from my uncle, aunt, and their whole family, and said that Dad had written a letter to my uncle and told him that he forgave him. A half a year later, my uncle and aunt came to visit Norway, and the place where my uncle is from. My uncle invited his sisters and brothers in Norway and my mom and dad to a gathering. Also, his side knew about the unforgiveness between my father and my uncle. When my mom and dad arrived, my uncle's family was already there, and all of them witnessed when my dad and my uncle walked over to each other and gave each other a big hug. Needless to say, it was a lot of tears from many eyes that moment.
I just have to say, thank you, Jesus. Only you can turn hate into love. So thank you for saving my dad. Last time when you were in Norway, my mom, my dad, one of my sisters, she was also saved after we told her about your teachings, which is another great story. My husband and I decided to drive to Drammen, to Vision Nords, and listen to you, and we did. It was really great to see you live after we had been listening to your teachings for several years and experienced so many great miracles and answers to prayer. We really do want to thank Jesus for you, Pastor Thurman, and your wife, and that he led us to listen to your teachings. It has changed our lives forever. God bless you and your wife and your ministry. Praise the Lord. Wow. Y'all understand why I do what I do?
Yes.
Wow. Father, we praise you, Master. We thank you and worship you. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and God of Gods. Thank you for the wonderful revelation you've given me from your word. But Lord, it was really quite simple. All I had to do was just read it and believe it. It wasn't hard at all. Once I started believing what you said, life became quite simple. So Father, I thank you for the revelation you've given me. I thank you for the beautiful family you've given me. I thank you for the love you've given me. And may I pass that love on to others. Lord, if my wife prays for me regular, make me more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. And my prayer for each one of you today is, I trust that your prayer would be, Lord, make me more like Jesus. I want all of us to be more like the King, so we can see you do the great and wonderful things that only you can do. And Lord, I stand in awe to think that this one family has wrote me such an awesome testimony about so many things. I can only imagine what you have really done with all those other 20,000 people that bought those CDs and DVDs. They've got to be some awesome testimonies with them too. But Lord, it's not for me to know. It's all about you and your glory. And we praise you and thank you for the privilege to serve you as our Lord and our Master. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.